Today we'll turn to, in our Bibles, to Psalm chapter 84. This is our third sermon in a mini-series of five messages from Psalms. Our overall theme for this series is experiencing and glorifying the Lord through the Psalms. And we're having one sermon from each of the five books that make up Psalms. The third book of Psalms includes chapters 73 through 89. And Psalm 84 is a psalm from the sons of Korah, who were part of the family of the Levites in the Old Testament days. And some of them were doorkeepers and guardians. Others were singers and musicians in the temple. And 12 of the 150 chapters in Psalms are ascribed to the sons of Korah. That includes chapters 42 through 49, as well as 84 and 85, 87 and 88. Sounds like the years when I was in high school, class of 88. But anyways, today we'll work our way through Psalm 84, which has some similar themes as Psalm 63, which we took a look at last week. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. And sometimes it's helpful to hit the same theme a few Sundays in a row so that we have more time to feed upon a specific life-transforming revelation or truth of God from His Word, or in case we missed the point the first time. And that brings us to the title of today's message: Experiencing Yahweh's Beatitudes in Our Ongoing Pilgrimage. Psalm 84 emphasizes the Lord of hosts. And Lord here is Yahweh. We'll unpack that as we go. And host refers to armies or the Almighty. And the Lord of hosts is a phrase that's used three times in this passage and a fourth time with the word God added, Lord God of hosts. And Psalm 84 also emphasizes three blessings or three beatitudes of Yahweh for His people who are living by faith in covenantal relationship with Him. This is also a celebration psalm that was written with a pilgrimage theme regarding Yahweh's people who were not living in Jerusalem but who would make the pilgrimage, the journey to Jerusalem, to be blessed by worshiping God in the temple, to experience Yahweh's presence as they worshiped Him. And as we read through this chapter, you might recognize, like last Sunday with Psalm 63, which Bob turned into a song for us, that this Psalm 84 is also a song that we sing together in worship. So starting in verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let's pray. We praise you, Father, Lord of hosts, Yahweh, God Almighty, over all powers that be. We praise you for your life-enriching, transforming presence we experience through the Spirit, the fellowship of the church. We praise you for your power that strengthens us, that in you is our strength, Father. And as the Lord who protects us, a sun and a shield. How refreshing and awesome it is to trust in you. We ask that our walk with you would be lifted and elevated this day as we feed on your word together and go out for another week of worship and witness, of service and good works in the various places that you've planted us and sent us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 84 uses the recurring phrase or name, the Lord of hosts. And three times, and plus a fourth time, Lord God of hosts. And this chapter also has three sections, each of which includes a beatitude or a blessing of Yahweh, the Lord, related to his presence, his power, and his protection. And so we will use these interconnected themes as the guide for our main points today. Here we go, number one. The presence of the Lord of hosts. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Verses 1 to 4 here emphasize the blessing of Yahweh's presence. In the Old Testament days, for those who dwelt in the Lord's house, his temple, where his presence was manifest in a special way, they were blessed. Meaning God's favor and goodness was upon them, and they experienced the joy and the peace that comes with God's presence and with living a godly life as the Lord's people. And this godly life includes taking time to dwell in the presence of God. And for those in Jerusalem, that would include going to worship him in the temple. And the psalmist is writing here to enhance our sense of delight and hunger to experience the presence of God in our lives, and to all the more treasure the privilege it is of knowing God, the God that we were created to worship. Verse 1, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. The dwelling place of the Lord at that time was the temple of Jerusalem. The psalmist says it is lovely, which would have included the physical appearance and the atmosphere of the temple that Solomon built. It was quite impressive. And sometimes our physical surroundings can help enhance a spiritual experience. But more importantly, this dwelling place of Yahweh was lovely because he was there. His presence showed up in a special, powerful way. That's how God decided to operate in the Old Testament days. Psalm 65, the psalmist says, blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. And verse 1 ends with the mighty and glorious name often ascribed to God in the Old Testament, the Lord of hosts. In many of our English translations, when we see the name the Lord, if it's using lowercase letters, that refers to the name Adonai, the Lord. But like here in verse 1, when we see the name Lord with smaller capital letters, it means the Hebrew name that we pronounce as Yahweh. That's the name being used, which is the personal name that God revealed to his people. And the Hebrews themselves would not even speak this name out of a sense of holy reverence and fear of God. And the name Yahweh, the Lord, literally means he is. It's the third person form of I am. And in Exodus chapter 3, God reveals himself to Moses as the I am, the eternal God who is. And Yahweh is the third person form of that, literally to be. He's the God who reigns eternally, and he exists. Sovereign and so forth. And also, as we know, that in biblical days, that a name identified not just the person, but his or her character. And so the name Yahweh goes along with his character, that he's the sovereign, eternal God who reigns and so forth. And this name was given to Moses for his people as part of his covenantal personal relationship with them. He's not just this creator God who's distant, but he was a God who chose the Israelites to be his treasured possession. And the psalmist uses, along with the word or name Yahweh, the word hosts, which can be translated armies or almighty, the armies of heaven and earth. So God is the Lord of hosts. He's Yahweh Almighty. He's the Lord of hosts, implying that he reigns over all the powers, over all the armies that exist in heaven and earth. And the Lord of hosts is a dominant name used for God in the Old Testament. Especially in the book of Malachi. Scholars tell us that 43% of the verses in the book of Malachi have some variation of this name, the Lord of hosts. And when Malachi was prophesying, he was doing so at a time when God's people had come out of Babylonian captivity, but they were experiencing trials and hardships. I know that maybe we never have trials or hardships, but God's people were in a tough time. And those who were old enough to remember former days, or had been taught about how things used to be, were like, wow, things are tough. And you know what? The people around us who are living evil lives, it seems like things are better for them. But over and over again, Malachi refers to the Lord of hosts, the personal God who's sovereign, who reigns over your enemies, and who has not forgotten you. Verse 2, my soul longs, yes, faints for the Lord of the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. So we saw with David in Psalm 63 last week. Here the psalmist speaks using similar language of his soul longing and fainting for God, for his presence. And the focus here is on a longing, a hunger for the very presence of Yahweh, which showed up in the courts and the temple. And the psalmist thinks about his past experience of the Lord's presence in the temple courts. And he says, my heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. And is this true of us? Have we come in here today, and true of the way we lived this last week? Do we sing for joy to the living God? Because we've tasted of his goodness amidst hardships of life. We've tasted of his grace and his glory. And our relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ, and by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, as we feed on the Word of God, as we encourage one another. Verse 3, even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. The outer courts there in the temple were open to the sky, and the birds could come and make their nests there and have their home. And so if the presence of the Lord of hosts is a blessing to the sparrow and the swallow, how much more is his presence a blessing to his own people, created in his image, who he is enabled to have live in a covenantal relationship with himself? And notice the psalmist adds the words, my King and my God. Again, like David back in Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. It implies here an intimacy and a hunger for God. And the psalmist is crying out, and he longs to experience the presence of the Lord. And this is not a spiritual high in and of itself. Some people are very fascinated or hunger for a spiritual experience. And that's good, provided it doesn't stop there. As Christians, our spiritual experience is to be grounded in a relationship with Christ and knowing him. And the psalmist is seeking that spiritual blessing and high, that sense of not just feeling good, but of a nurtured, intimate relationship with Yahweh, the God who revealed himself to his people. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Here's the first of the three Beatitudes, or blessings in Psalm 84. Beatitude, it's a word we get from the Latin word, which means blessed or happy. And biblically speaking, it refers to one's state of well-being, which flows out of a right relationship with God. We're blessed. Probably the most famous of the Beatitudes in the Bible is from the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes Jesus begins that sermon with in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Beatitudes, blessings. There's also seven Beatitudes or blessings in the book of Revelation. First one's in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear, who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Scripture is loaded with beatitudes, with blessings. Be blessed today. Receive Yahweh's beatitudes, his blessings. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. The house of the Lord, again in those days, was the temple in Jerusalem that the Lord had King Solomon build. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 6. David wanted to, but God said, no, it's not for you. You're not going to build a house for me. I'll build a house for you. And then he had King Solomon build it. And the temple is the place that God chose for his glorious presence to dwell in a special way in which he would reveal himself, the Holy God of Israel. And it was, ironically, the place on earth that emphasized two extremes. The holiness of God, who was separate from his sinful people. And in the very inner part of the temple was the Holy of Holies that the people could not go into. Only the high priest once a year. And he had to go through certain steps in order to be ready, where God in his grace would receive him into the Holy of Holies. So in one sense, the temple where God's holy presence and glory showed up in a special way emphasized the fact that God is holy. He's to be feared and revered. He is way separate from us. At the same time, the temple was where God's people, outside of the Holy of Holies, could experience his presence. So both was emphasized. The holiness of God, who's separate from his sinful people, who by his grace allows his people to experience his presence. And that's what the psalmist is writing about and singing about here in Psalm 84. And those who dwell in Yahweh's house, his temple, his courts, are blessed. They experience the favor, the goodness of God. Ever singing your praise, the psalmist says. And then perhaps you notice here at the end of verse 4, and a couple times here in this chapter, we have the word Selah. There's a Christian music group with that name. And the root of this word means to lift up, but scholars are not sure exactly what the word means, but it appears to be to indicate that there's an interlude or a change in the music. And Psalm 84, like some other psalms, was written to be sung. And so here we have an interlude or a change that the psalmist is marking. And each one of these sections that has this interlude includes a beatitude or blessing. And here again, the blessing is from Yahweh's presence. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, where the presence of God himself at that time dwelled on the earth in a special way. But then something very radical happened about 2,000 years ago. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, was sent to earth. God the Son became incarnate. And John writes in chapter 1, verse 14, the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally, tabernacled among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John uses temple language and theology to communicate how the very presence of God dwelled among his people in a most amazing way by God himself coming to earth. Jesus Christ becoming incarnate, becoming man and walking among his people. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And John says, we have seen his glory. And when we read the book of John, We get a taste of that glory that John and the other disciples and many of the people in those days saw. As we read with our eyes of faith fixed on Jesus, with our hearts gripped by the captivating glory of the one John says was loved by the Father. The one who befriends the immoral woman at the well. Who raised Lazarus from the dead. The one before whose presence the soldiers fall to the ground when they come to arrest him because he says, "I am he." A great military strategy. And the only one in all of human history who could rightly pray in John 17 that the Father would glorify him. Who chose to lay down his life. No one took it. He laid it down willingly. And after he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, he did what he promised he would do. He sent the Helper, the Counselor, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, God's gift for his people, poured out, which was prophesied in the Old Testament days, that God would pour out his Spirit where it would no longer primarily be confined to the temple in Jerusalem, but it would be poured out on all of his people who would be scattered throughout this world as his kingdom goes forth, as his gospel is preached to every tribe and language. And as his people, even though they're not gathered in Jerusalem and they can't go into the temple anymore and worship, they have the very presence of God. They are blessed because they're dwelling in God's presence wherever they're scattered because the Holy Spirit has been poured out on them and on you and I for believers in Christ in power in a way that it was not in the Old Testament days. The very thing that the psalmist longs for to experience in the courts and the temple is what you is afforded to us on a daily basis through the Holy Spirit. Do you know the living Christ? Have you put your faith in Jesus? We are a people who are loved by God, but we have all fallen short of living in a manner that gives him the glory. We have a sin problem. It's like a spiritual cancer that has tainted, has corrupted every aspect of our being. In the motives of our hearts, in our relationships, in the words of our mouth. And God has provided a way for that penalty of sin to be paid and for our broken relationship with him to be restored. And with that, he has offered us a gift that comes with the gift of eternal life, the Holy Spirit, to experience him on a daily basis. And it doesn't mean we're always going to feel a spiritual high. We don't. But we're called to, on a daily basis, long to practice the presence of God in our lives. To feeding on his word, fellowshipping with one another. Thinking and dwelling upon things that are praiseworthy and honorable and so forth. And mindful of the fact that by God's grace, the church is now the temple of God here on earth. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2. Through what God did through his son Jesus, and by the gift of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, cut off from God, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." This is part of the reason we are to fellowship together, to worship together, to gather together in prayer or small groups, to have Christian fellowship throughout the week. That's part of how we experience the very presence of God. It's not the only way, and we need our individual devotional life as well. But by God's grace, you and I, as flawed, messed up people, are the temple of God here on earth. And we experience his presence in part by being the body of Christ, bearing with one another, loving one another, praying for one another, and so forth. So we, like the psalmist, can experience a blessing of the presence of the Lord of hosts as we nurture our relationship with Christ, feeding on his word, and so forth. What are the places or the things in life that we think are lovely? The psalmist says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord?" Do we view the body of Christ as lovely? Do we view the very experience of God's presence as lovely? Does our soul long for and faint for the presence of Yahweh? When we're weary or discouraged, do every cry out, "My King and my God"? Can we say in our heart, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, O Lord"? Main point number two. The power of the Lord God of hosts. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Here in verses 5 and 8, the psalmist shifts his focus slightly from the blessing of dwelling in the Lord's presence to the blessing that comes to those whose strength is in the Lord. And of course, those two go hand in hand. Part of the way we have the strength from the Lord is by dwelling in His presence. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Here's the second beatitude. In whose heart are the highways to Zion. Zion is another name used for Jerusalem. It's one of the hills there in Jerusalem was named Zion. And so sometimes Jerusalem or the city of David is called Zion. And the highways to Zion refers to that sacred way or that path that God's people would take on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, because not all God's people live there in Jerusalem. And this is referred to as highways to Zion. And this psalm was written with that pilgrimage in mind, helping enhance the sense of celebration that God's people would have on their journey before they even got to the city. They might even sing the psalm as they're journeying or pilgrimaging there. And here in verse 5, the psalmist speaks the second beatitude. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. The psalmist and those living outside of Jerusalem could not be blessed by the presence of God in the temple, but they knew, they still cried out for it, and they knew that this finding their strength in the Lord was not limited to those who were in Jerusalem. What empowers you in your life? What gives you motivation? What gives you encouragement? Where do we find our will and our resolve, our power to persevere? Is our strength in the Lord? Are we turning to Him and asking Him for His power to be patient and kind, not keeping a record of wrongs, having a godly tongue, encouraging one another, praying when we don't feel like praying, feeding on the Word when we don't feel like reading the Bible, choosing an attitude of joy when maybe things aren't going our way, rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those who mourn. And part of having our strength in the Lord includes grieving and lamenting, and sometimes waiting on God when we don't feel strong, but trusting Him along the way. Peter says in 2 Peter 1, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Our strength in the Lord is increased as we nurture our walk and our knowing God. And our strength that we find in the Lord is not just to get through the day for ourselves, but is God's life-transforming power that enables us to be salt of the earth and light of the world, to bless our neighborhoods and communities and those who we come in contact with. Look at verse 6. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. The location of the valley of Baca is unknown, but scholars tell us it refers to an arid or extremely dry place. The plural form of Baca is balsam, and it's used in 2 Samuel 5, referring to balsam trees, which would grow in dry or weary or arid places. And notice what the psalmist is saying here. As God's people journey on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and they go through this arid valley, the power of the Lord of hosts not only strengthens them for their journey, but God's power, working through them, turns the dry valley of Baca into a place of springs that's covered with pools of early rain. They're being salt of the earth and light of the world. So let me put that another way. We need to seek to have our strength be in the Lord, to get through another day, to live a godly life. As we're doing that, and if we're truly doing that, that's going to mean that God, in His grace and through His power, not ours, He is going to work through us so that the places where we're living are blessed by our very presence. Verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. God's people are, not only is their strength in the Lord, their strength is increasing. It goes from strength to strength. as they journey on their pilgrimage. They experience the blessing of God's strength again and again. Their strength is in the Lord. Their hunger is to experience Him in His presence. And because they are His people, their very presence is a blessing to the dry and weary lands that they're traveling through or where they live. Verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. Here the psalmist cries out to the Lord of hosts, this time adding God to the name Lord of hosts, O Lord God of hosts, as if to emphasize, albeit unsuccessfully, finding the words to adequately emphasize the uncontainable power of the Lord of hosts. He's O Lord God of hosts. And the psalmist asks that the God of Jacob would hear his prayer. So this psalm that the psalmist is writing, these words that he's declaring confidently are also his prayer. So he's declared these things, but then he's lifting it up as a prayer. O God of Jacob, hear my prayer and give ear. Let's find our strength in the Lord. Yahweh's power. Not in ourselves, not in our own abilities, not in our circumstances. May our strength be in the Lord. May we increase from strength to strength. And when we're thinking about our Christian lives, or Psalm 84, when we sing this song at the end of the service today, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Let's remember that this was written with a pilgrimage theme in mind. That we are pilgrims, we are sojourners and exiles in a world that is not our home. We belong here in terms of our mission, but not our identity. We're waiting for the new heaven and earth. And in the meantime, we have a purpose and a mission. And that's lived out as pilgrims, like God's people who would have their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. We're pilgrimage waiting for the coming of Christ in the new heaven and earth. And we are to cry out for the very presence of God and His power, but not as an end in itself, that we might also be a blessing to those around us as we find our strength in the Lord. Main point number 3. The protection of the Lord of hosts. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. Verse 9, behold our shield, O God. The Lord of hosts protects His people, and His protection is often referred to as a shield. 2 Samuel 22, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointing. The psalmist is crying out for God as his protection, and now he's offering up a prayer for the king, the anointed. Verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. We saw in the title of Psalm 84 that it's a psalm that's written by or ascribed to the sons of Korah. Korah was actually one of the three who rebelled against Moses and ended up being swallowed by the earth. You can read about that in Numbers 16 and 26. But his sons did not die. And God used the sons of Korah to be part of the Levite family and to be singers and musicians in the temple as well as doorkeepers and guardians. So here, in a psalm written by the sons of Korah, the psalmist uses an example from everyday life that they and the people of God would relate to. One day in the courts of the Lord, as a doorkeeper, where God's presence dwells, is far better than 1,000 elsewhere, outside of the presence of God. And here the psalmist touches on both the identity and the security that we have in the Lord, our protection. God is our shield. He's our protector. We long to dwell in His presence. Our strength is in Him. Our protection comes from Him. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Not only does He protect us, but He withholds no good thing. It will come in His timing. It will come in His way. But as we trust in Him, He is the God. who brings good things into our life and who works all things for the good of those who love him. Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. The third and final beatitude or blessing of this psalm. The protection of the Lord of hosts. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. We trust in the Lord, first of all, by putting our faith in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that and you're ready to do so, you can pray right now as I'm preaching or talk with one of us before you leave. But it's also a way of life. When we obey the scriptures and we choose to have our lives and what we do with our time and our heart and our money and our entire future, we are trusting our lives in God's hands, the God who is our shield, who's our protector, Yahweh. Hallelujah. So the presence of the Lord of hosts, blessed are those who dwell in your house. The power of the Lord God of hosts, blessed are those whose strength is in you. The protection of the Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. People of LRBC, all those that are listening, be blessed. Dwell in God's presence. Find your strength in him and trust in Yahweh, the Lord God. Let's pray.